Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Tuesday, the 26th day of June, 2012. We're going to be here for the next 3 hours. This Saturday, I came in to do a taped interview with the founder of Smashing Pumpkins, Billy Corrigan. And I had obviously interviewed Billy before on air. And it was extremely informative and interesting. Billy's been a listener for many years. And he's got a new album out that's a hit, Oceania. But I did this interview Saturday, and it was basically the Billy Corrigan I talked to off air because I never push him to ask him controversial questions and things because it's not my job to try to get famous people in political hot water. The Charlie Sheen thing that happened was because I was getting Charlie on to talk about how I'd been at his house for a week. And then he was off drugs, and the media was lying. And then he went to the Bahamas with his girlfriends, and ex-wife. Things blew up, and I had no idea that 5 minutes before he came on my show, there was a big argument blow-up. And Brooke Mueller had been thrown off the island and put back on the jet, and he said, "I'll still come on." And came on in the middle of a rage, and that's what happened there. That's what happened with that meltdown that, quite frankly, I'm ashamed of. I wish that that never would have happened on my show. Because it made the Sheen family angry at me, and they were the ones that actually turned Charlie onto my show. I'll just leave it at that. And I know them very, very well, and they're not mad at me now, but they certainly were for a while. And I understand why they were mad at me. I don't know why I'm talking about this now. The point is, I digress off into issues. That Charlie Sheen train wreck was not my intention. Now, the interview you're going to hear with Billy Corrigan, we're going to air it in the third hour today. It is not a train wreck. In fact, it's incredibly cogent and focused and intelligent. But he says more about politics and things than I've ever heard him say in any interview. And believe me, it will be news making. I will leave it. I will leave it at that. He's now in South America doing a big concert tour. He left Sunday. Again, I came in here Saturday because he said he wanted to come on my show right when his album came out. And I kind of forgot the album was coming out and then noticed he was doing interviews. And so I called him up and he said, "Yeah, I'm totally booked except for 8 a.m. in the morning on Friday or Saturday at noon his time." So we got Billy Corrigan of Smashing Pumpkins on the broadcast, well, we taped it, and so that is coming up. It's about 45 minutes long, and I was going to tape it and edit it so that it could be aired on the radio in its segments, but I actually went over with him some, so it's a side issue. I just got in this morning and realized it didn't fit the broadcast segments, so I'll be throwing it to break, to the music, but we really won't be. Point is, I'm kind of strategizing radio here on the air, total transparency, not even on purpose. The reason there's so much transparency here is we're so busy, we have to plan things on the fly as we go. Marcos Morales put together the piece. It's a video piece with graphics and music and things. Radio listeners will hear the high-def audio, but PrisonPlanet.tv viewers will be able to see much of it. Coming up on the video streams at PrisonPlanet.tv. And when you are a member, there's a 15-day free trial. Oh, I hear music from the Predator. Jesse Ventura, who was almost a few weeks ago, he's back on because of all the controversies out there and the EAS system cutting in over him when he's on shows. And I've confirmed from program directors it's happening with our show, but not on all stations, and it's happening with Eric Mueller, Mancow Mueller. And so we're going to talk about that and a lot more with Jesse Ventura. And then we got big breaking whistleblower news from the TSA and a lot more.
He's the T-Rex of political talk.
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome, my friends. Thank you for joining us on this live worldwide transmission. It is the 26th day of June, 2012. I am your host, Alex Jones. Coming up, Billy Corrigan of Smashing Pumpkins is going to be joining us. It's a taped interview I did this weekend, and it is sensational politically. Very cogent, very focused, and he covers it all. GMO, drones, TSA, how he loves Infowars.com, how he loves the DrudgeReport.com. It is certainly interesting in how his last big hit album was inspired greatly by Infowars and my radio show and the new album. I mean, but politically, it is explosive. And I didn't ask him about Jessica Simpson and things like that, but I asked him about everything else. That is coming up. Billy Corrigan. And then live, Jesse Ventura. Gotta get him while you can. He spends half the year down in Mexico reading books and surfing. Kind of a priestly, pious existence. He's been back. He, of course, came on with us first a few weeks ago. Now he's been through some big scuff-ups on CNN, CNBC, you name it. We're going to be breaking that down. The fact that when he's been on syndicated radio shows and talks about FEMA camps, the feed gets scrambled. I've confirmed this is going on. Very bizarre. Of course, they announced, and guys, this is in yesterday's stack. It was our top story. I never got to it. The White House says the, quote, president's emergency alerts will, quote, follow you around. That was the headline. And I never even got to that on air, that now they're announcing, oh, yes, it's going to have its own ringtone. And if you're on the phone with somebody else, it's going to cut you off. Or if you're surfing the internet or doing something business-wise or whatever the shopping, whatever the case is, they're just going to cut you off. And there's going to be a presidential announcement at you. And they're going to expand this down to local announcements, just government takeover of not just radio, TV, cable, the satellites, you know, erasing stuff off the TiVo that they don't want you to see. Oh, you know, you record something on a live news feed. You're like, oh, well, I have it TiVo'd or on your DVR. No, you don't. They give an order, hit one button, and it erases it throughout the entire grid. This is all the backdoor garbage that the system admits they've built in. So I'm going to get into that today if the water doesn't rise over Bear Creek. There it is. DHS cell phone alert system follows you around. That's a quote by DHS. Presidential messages to have their own distinctive ringtone. It's like a dystopic Woody Allen science fiction nightmare or meets Ray Kurzweil in Hell. And then on top of it, adding a little bit of Kurt Vonnegut and Running Man and THX-1138 and 1984 and Brave New World and adding a smattering of Hellraiser and Amityville Horror, and you've got the New World Order. Well, I guess with the GMO mutations, The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing. Turkey threatens to attack Syria. You know, again, I keep mentioning this, but I want to pull the articles up. Guys, type in Bush wanted to paint up U.S. jet like U.N. aircraft. Bush wanted to paint up U.S. jet like U.N. aircraft. That'll bring it up. It was declassified. Well, it was leaked in the White House and Downing Street memos, but then later confirmed. And Tony Blair and him were getting together saying, we could paint up U.S. aircraft, fly them real low, and say that they're U.N. aircraft, meaning the U.N. would have to be in on it, and then have them shot down as a way in 2002 when they were trying to sell the attack on Iraq. They got it, obviously, in March of the next year. And I've seen a bunch of other cases of this where governments fly their aircraft low or in the airspace trying to get them shot down. And now Turkey, who's got reportedly nuclear weapons, ladies and gentlemen, just like South Africa does, but that's not publicly admitted, or Israel, they've got a lot bigger military than Syria, very high tech. They're saying that they'll fly their F-16s wherever they want, and that if they shoot any more F-16s down, it's war. When they're doing their bombing runs, and they've come out and they've said that if Syria gets any of its troops anywhere near the border, and Syria is a very small country like Israel, a little bit bigger, that if they get anywhere near their own border, they will be attacked. You add to this, Steve Watson's got the headline. This is big news. Military source, British commandos operating in Syria, Assad compound under siege. I have military sources 4 months ago here on air who talked about the fact that you've got in Turkey and you've got built up in border areas with Jordan, Marines and army mashing, and that they're arming Taliban / Al-Qaeda, which is admitted. I mean, that part's admitted. And sending them in, and they're blowing up police stations, military bases, you name it. You know, they landed a few thousand of them in Tripoli at night, led by British, other Arab countries as well, U.S. Commandos. That's all now been confirmed in Libya. And, of course, they actually wear black uniforms with the Al-Qaeda patch. That's even been in the London Guardian and L.A. Times. You can just type in Al-Qaeda flag over Libya, Al-Qaeda flag, Al-Qaeda uniforms in Libya, now Al-Qaeda flags and uniforms in Syria. And right after Libya fell, it was on BBC, we played the clip here, it showed them holding up signs in Al-Qaeda uniforms with Al-Qaeda flags. The Al-Qaeda uniform is a black uniform, just jet black with a patch on the side when they get in uniform, saying Syria, here we come. In English, on the news. So again, I'm no fan of Muammar Gaddafi. I'm no fan of Assad. I'm no fan of any of these guys. But is anybody noticing that there was actually a White House / British plan? Yeah, there it is, London Telegraph. Libya, Al-Qaeda flag flown above Benghazi courthouse. Yeah, you can also type in, for new listeners that may be doubting this, you can just type in Al-Qaeda uniforms, Al-Qaeda patches in Syria. I mean, they're on the news, leading the operations in black uniforms. Okay, continuing, because usually the Islamist outfits are, you know, green, but Al-Qaeda wears black. Their flag is black. Continuing, military source, British commandos operating in Syria, Assad compound under siege. Reports suggest Western military intervention in full swing. Yeah, they're moving in Turkey and in other areas like Jordan, moving troops up to the border. That's the Debka file, which is basically Mossad, well, who I found to be very accurate in the past, reporting that. French, British, and Turkish military sources have suggested the elite British soldiers have entered northern Syria and are operating 10 kilometers inside the country. Well, it's admitted they're inside Iran right now, too, lasing targets. Marking targets, really GPS, not so much lasing. The country in what is thought to be the first offensive Western intervention against the Assad regime. And, of course, you've seen on the news, McCain calling for boots on the ground, Lieberman, all this talk. And then we see the bots on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com in the comments saying, hey, there's nothing going to happen over there. You're a conspiracy theorist, kind of like we were conspiracy theorists 6 months before the fall of Libya, saying it's an air bombardment, it's a military attack, they're using Al-Qaeda, they're slaughtering the blacks. That was all later admitted. By the way, this happens every few months. The caching servers get screwed up at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com, and it doesn't post most of your comments. Just a program note here, and I couldn't post. I don't usually post in comments very often, but this morning I was doing testing. I couldn't post. The servers are screwed up. Some people are able to get comments posted, but you see articles that would normally have 200, 300, 400 comments. You know, they're top stories in just a few hours. I'll have like 15 comments. It's screwed up. No one's censoring you. Because we got email and comments pouring into the other sites saying, hey, I'm just talking about stuff and you're censoring me. No, the website's broken. It's just like PlanetInfoWars.com is in beta. It's got over 30,000 members now. We've barely promoted it because I wanted to beta test it before I really get behind promoting it. It's a social network to get folks together for liberty. It's on cloud servers and CDNs. And because a big site like that, you have to have it spread out. Because I don't know how to explain it, but we've had IT consultants, you name it. If one server crashes, suddenly sometimes your site disappears, your page, and then we re-upload it. Okay, so that's not on purpose either. That's why it's in beta. It's not a conspiracy theory. PlanetInfoWars.com. Side issue, just thought I would mention to people that I see this most often because we have caching servers. Everything can't be live constantly on the site every time somebody does a function or it screws the site up, is what's been explained to me by IT people. So there's a caching, whereas it's only showing you the new comments every 5 minutes, I think is what it's set at. So a group of them go in. They're not even in moderation. They sit there, and then the server goes through a function and posts them. Because if you've got thousands of people at once posting on a site, and every time they do it, it's a whole new function, it screws it up. So it goes to servers that just handle the comments. It splits up the demand, you understand? It's like a balancing act. And so it sends them off to those servers, and then they batch it and then post it. That's what's going on. That's what's happening. Google and YouTube, their sub-company, have been caught censoring for real. That's on record. They've admitted the government's told them to do it before. They've taken our videos down before. They've done all sorts of stuff. But it's not censorship when YouTube, you see a video that's got 2,000 comments and 500 likes, you know, 20 dislikes or whatever, and it says 301 viewers. People are like, well, there's more than 301 viewers. That's because when you first upload a video, it goes the way tech people have told me. It goes up to one server. And then once the video starts going viral, it's distributed over a CDN or cloud system. And so then it has to update then. And it can't be updating the counts in live time or it would shut the system down. So it has to batch them and then shove them out as the batching process goes through. Now I've really digressed. You know, we've got what could lead to World War III happening, Russian ships landing with Spetsnaz, Marine Special Forces, high-tech weapon systems being shipped in. And now our government that CNBC says has been captured and run by foreign banks, don't forget that yesterday, now is going in there. And the Russians say they're basically probably going to defend Syria. I mean, this is huge news, bigger than American Idol. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I wish there was a love train, but unfortunately, that's not what's happening. In fact, guys, will you queue up the CNBC video again that we played yesterday? I just want to play the intro of that for 4 minutes on the video that's up at Infowars.com. That I think is huge news. On the Kudlow Report, the host and the guest all agree the U.S. is run by foreign banks, that it's a world government. But then they basically say they know best, though. So, yes, we're run by foreign banks. We are slaves, absolutely, of the big mega banks. In fact, here is a clip of that because I want to point something out here. People say, well, hey, you got to back the attack on the Russian-backed forces in Syria. You're pro-America, aren't you? Really, America is supposed to go put Al-Qaeda into Syria and a bunch of other jihadis to try to overthrow Assad when Al-Qaeda and these Muslim groups are on record. Where are all you guys that love to hate Muslims? Well, these are the real extremists. Oh, you just want to hate all general Muslims and then actually support the CIA and MI6 and others backing Al-Qaeda? Because they've said on record. In fact, I'm going to cover this on the nightly news tonight. I'm going to get the articles and video clips pulled together from Libya and Syria and the Al-Qaeda statements and the jihadi statements, not just Al-Qaeda, they're part of it, who say they're going to kill every Jew in Syria. They're going to kill every Jew in Syria. Kill them. Where's our media on that? And that they're going to force all the Christians out of one of the oldest Christian settlements in the world. Just as old as Bethlehem, just as old as Jerusalem. Christianity, day one in Syria. Day one in Syria. Day one in Syria. 2,000 plus years old Christianity. Gone. And they've put the Muslim Brotherhood and a bunch of Al-Qaeda supporters in, and they've declared military dictatorship with a puppet president that Hillary has worshipped. Here's the Free Beacon. Walsh, a congressperson from Illinois, cut aid to Egypt. Representative calls for aid reduction after election. Here's WorldNet Daily. Hillary tied to new Muslim Brotherhood president. And it goes over all that. This is the plan, folks. You're told give all your rights up because of Al-Qaeda, and it's what I've always told you. Al-Qaeda was created by the State Department and the CIA. You're like, but the CIA is our government. No, it's not. It represents Wall Street itself owned by foreign banks. The sooner you figure that out, this is the bankers using our military to try to overthrow Syria and put something in literally 50 times worse. The difference is that the globalists will destabilize Syria. They will put in the Al-Qaeda people and then have a war knocking them out. Again, it's just keep the area destabilized, keep those people in squalor, don't let them industrialize because you don't want anybody who is self-sufficient. Just like the policy of our so-called government is to shut down General Motors. It's to shut down our power plants. I have a news here today where they're saying Texas won't be able to supply its power this summer because Obama has shut down a bunch of power plants. We reported on that years ago. The White House responded to it. This is the mega banks who've hijacked our country, who are launching these wars in Syria and other areas. And now the Russians have their interests threatened, and Medvedev and Putin have threatened to nuke Western Europe. I mean, that didn't happen during the Cold War. Cheney and others launched that NATO attack in Georgia into the South Ossetia and Abkhazia, trying to start a war. These people are crazy. So again, if the Russians were here taking over, I'd be totally against them. If the communist Chinese were, I'd be totally against them. And to a certain extent, they're allied with the globalists, so they are. But what about the bankers? They're the ones that captured our country and have set up the Homeland Security system to take over. Here they are on CNBC admitting it. Here it is.
So mostly what they do is hold summits. I think that right now the question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight. Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge? Jim Urio, you say we've got some downside here, a correction in the markets. Fine. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do? Aren't we all just counting on the fact that there's a Bernanke put and that we won't go any lower than, say, 5% down from here?
Of course we are, because if we look at the economic data, there's nothing to get excited about in that. So we, you know, yesterday we saw some reluctance for the Bernanke Fed to expand their balance sheets and pump more money in. But the stock market knows that reluctance is totally different than not willing to do it at all. And that's why we saw oil implode.
All right, we're going to come back
heavily because
they go on to say we are, quote, absolutely slaves of foreign central banks and global government. We'll be right back. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I'm going to do my best to go over all the rest of the news, just illustrating how illegitimate and out of control the power structure is on this planet, and how, like every other out-of-control power structure, they're starting fights in their attempt to set up world government with dangerous countries bristling with nuclear weapons who are threatening to use them, and all Homeland Security's busy doing is trying to spy on good old boys, who they see as their domestic threat. So a very, very serious time to be alive, no doubt. Before we get back into all of that news, Dreams from My Real Father by Joel Gilbert that shows a compelling case that his real father is Frank Marshall Davis and that his mother was involved in pornography and things like that. I'll just leave it at that. And Obama admits he hung out with this guy as a child and visited him weekly, and you just got to see the evidence. It's pretty darn strong. Looks just like him. And then they've got Frank Marshall Davis on the same couch in interviews as his, what looks like his mother posing naked. I mean, it's unbelievable. This is certainly political coffin nails to Mr. Obama. Dreams from My Real Father, directed by Joel Gilbert. And this thing is basically sold out everywhere. We have gotten all that's available. We have them in stock. I don't know how long we'll have them, but we're getting more. But if you want them right now, we've got them in stock. We've got a a nice little horde of them, because I knew this. Well, once I saw it, I was like, by the way, it's not even officially out until July, but they partnered with us. So we've got it. If you want it, it's available at InfoWarsShop.com or InfoWarsStore.com. Both will get you there. Or click the shopping link at InfoWars.com. And it is right there on the site. You support our broadcast and the filmmaker. But when I first heard about this a month ago from Corsi, I'm like, yeah, right. And then I saw the film that had been sitting there on my desk for 2 weeks. And I was like, yeah, order it. Get them on. Amazing. And just the background of a pornographer. This guy was an admitted pornographer and a marathon sex addict. He wrote a book about it. You know, bragging about all, and Obama's 8, 9, 10 years old, and every week his grandfather would bring him over there to stay with him. And it's his daddy when you look at him. It's Obama's daddy. The voice, the face, everything. And then what are their parents doing bringing him over there? I tell you, these people, now you know why in Indonesia they hired a transvestite. And I'm not bashing people. The point is, the family is into some kinky stuff, okay? Just see the film. It's weird. It's off the chart. And it stinks to high heaven as being absolutely dead on. Dreams for My Real Father, available at InfoWarsShop.com or call 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. You can also send $14.95. Oh, yeah, it's discounted to P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas, 78760. And I should also add that you get a free citizen rule book and bumper stickers. Because we just want to get this film out. Normally something sold out everywhere. You know, we jacked the price up to $30. Hey, we're happy just to be able to fund our operation and get the word out. It's a win-win-win. Fund our operation and get the word out. That, you know, in the final equation, that's what it's all about. Everything we sell or promote is something I passionately believe in, that I've researched, and that I stand by. Speaking of that, this was on the bookshelf the entire time I grew up. Back then it was a little bit smaller book. In size, you know, same text, but now it's been republished. None Dare Call a Conspiracy by Gary Allen and Larry Abraham, runaway bestseller, over 5 million in print. Until a few years ago, the only ones you could find were old, you know, rotting, acid-paged 1971, 1972, is published through 75, and those are the copies I read as a teenager. They've been on the bookshelf since my first memories were pulling this out of the bookshelf. My parents wouldn't let me watch a lot of television, so I would just pull out books and look at the covers. And you look at the science fiction covers and look at the Western covers and wanted to learn how to read because I could read Louis L'Amour or whatever. And so I started reading and read this. I think I probably read this when I was 12 or 13 and really crystallized a lot for me. Available at InfoWarsShop.com. And lastly, Behind the Green Mask, Unigen 21, Rosa Corey, she's on later in the week. When is she on, tomorrow?
Thursday.
Okay, so she's on Thursday. She's on in 2 days from now. Behind the Green Mask, Unigen 21, get this out to everybody you know, city council, police, city planners, people that are compartmentalized and don't understand what they're going under. This is all available at InfoWarsShop.com, as is discounted 10% off with the promo code WATER, the high-quality gravity-fed system of ProPure. Okay, enough plugging. It's just the crew comes to me and says, you know, we're not going to have any money to operate and run this place if you don't plug occasionally. Plus, it's great to get this information out. I mean, this is, all these tools are torpedoes at the New World Order. We also have Ventura's new book, Democrips and Republicans, which I know you know the left and right are controlled. Even if there's difference in their rhetoric, They're owned by the same people. Well, your neighbor, your friend, your family, your dad, your mom, your son, your daughter, they don't. And I think Ventura's book is good to wake people up. You know, so many articles are getting published at InfoWars.com that I can't even keep track of them anymore, much less cover them. This just came in. Military sources, British commandos operating in Syria, Assad compound under siege, Steve Watson, that's out of News in Israel, using TPP to reintegrate and expand NAFTA in the North American Union. That's a big article. And more of those documents have come out. Whistleblower, TSA deliberately hiring psychopath criminals. And if I told you what happened yesterday after that guy was on, you wouldn't believe it. And when I do TSA whistleblowers again, I kind of did it spontaneously yesterday. We've got to not say what state you're calling from. Especially if you're calling from Rhode Island with one major commercial airport. Because they found out who he was. And I called him after the show. And then the phone rang and it was the TSA, his boss. And all Hades broke loose. And I got the guy's name, his info, all of it. He works there. And I haven't been able to talk to him since last night. Now, everything he told us, we've already reverse engineered. That the TSA is expanding outside the airports, that they're hiring pedophiles, criminals. He gave me all the data on that. I even recorded the interview. He let me do it as the TSA kept calling and calling. And so they called, and then they were there, and you know, him talking to them. But I only got part of that. I've got that on my iPhone. We had it on speakerphone in there in Tim's office. Tim heard it all. And then the guy got real scared. And I was like, yeah, well, you shouldn't have said you were in Rhode Island. I mean, they figured out who he was. So we're going to do it again, but we're not going to say where you're calling from. And send us documents. I'm going to, we've got what? We have whistleblower at Infowars.com, don't we? I had that set up a few weeks ago. We have that URL, correct? Because I want to get a list of our emails in here. The problem is, I'm always trying to imagine, okay, yeah, it's whistleblowers. Or is it whistleblowers or whistleblower? It's both at Infowars.com. You can use both. Great. Send it. Just send it. Because look, if they are, we know they're hiring criminals and they get caught and say, oopsie, oh, hired a defrocked priest. Oopsie, hired a bank robber. Oopsie, hired a, you know, guy that manslaughter. Oops, hired a kleptomaniac, you know, with 50 convictions or whatever for shoplifting. Oops. No, there's no oops about it. Stalin, Hitler, they all did this. And we got that job hiring document a few months ago out of Seattle that they pulled. But it said, we want you to be imperious and in their face. Imperious means, you know, godlike, emperor-like, king-like, in people's face. And that's what they do now. Before the TSA, wasn't that mean? A lot of them were listeners saying, hey, it's just a job. We're trying to unionize to stop this. We don't want to grow up. We know a lot of TSA are getting in trouble for not wanting to grow up. But now, he was saying the last 20-plus hires have all been out of the state rehabilitation program. And he gave me all the names of that. In fact, let me just get to that a little bit later because I need to grab my notes. But and I have it recorded, too, folks. But I have the guy's name, everything, and it fits into everything we already know. But when I do give the number out tomorrow or so to talk to TSA whistleblowers, or maybe we'll do it in the next segment and the short segment after that, you've got to not say where you're calling from. It's very, very simple. They're not going to be able to identify you out of tens of thousands of employees. You know, if you call from Texas, but you don't say Texas, or you call from New York, you don't say New York. But this guy was involved in the hiring and the screening of him and was mad. And off air, he finally told me he was sick of it all. He told his family, who's involved in government, I'm not doing this anymore. And he didn't think before he called in and said, I work at the Rhode Island airport, and went over it all because, I mean, he was there with his kids talking in the background and, you know, the phone was ring, ring, ring. And then they got on the phone. I was talking to him on his cell phone. And I know when somebody's real. I mean, if this guy isn't real and he sent me some information, then he is the best Academy Award winning best actor I've ever seen. Plus, his whole story checks out. It's hiding in plain view. They grope your children. They take them away to rooms. There's a new report out where they dropped the vase on the floor of the man's relative's ashes. Let me just read the article since I'm mentioning it. This is the Indy Channel. Indianapolis man furious over treatment at Florida airport. He told her, look, you can send it to the x-ray. You're not supposed to open it. He checked the policy. They're not supposed to open urns of ashes. A man's attempt to bring the ashes of his grandfather home to Indianapolis ended with an angry scene in the Florida airport when the ashes spilled on the terminal floor. She laughed at him. She put her finger into it, dug around in it, dropped it on the floor. He was basically told to hurry up and clean it up. And then she laughed at him as he crawled around on the floor with passengers waiting to go through. He was told she had no right to open it, but it didn't matter. It was supposed to go through an X-ray machine. She opened it. She used her finger and was sifting through it. And then she accidentally spilled it. Gross says about a quarter of a third of the contents spilled on the floor, leaving him frantically trying to gather up as much as he could while anxious passengers waited behind him. She didn't apologize. She started laughing. I was on my hands and knees picking up bone fragments. I couldn't pick up all of it. Everything that was lost. And it just goes on. And he shows the urn on the news. That's a local TV station. Now, you look at this, and this is the type of people. Who else would want to grope men, women, and children all day? Who else would want to scream at people? Who else would want to stand around x-rays and body scanners all day? Who else? Well, people that need a job. And they are not the people they're looking for now. It's purely converting to absolute criminals. And every day now, it was every couple days, you read about them being busted, raping women, posing as police, attacking people, child porn, pimping, drug dealing, robbing bags, because they're hiring kleptomaniacs. They're hiring criminals. This is what a tyranny is. They're going to expand them out on the streets. This is the plan. It's always been the plan. And as I told you, it's now happening. So let's open the phones up in the next two short segments ahead of Jesse Ventura for TSA whistleblowers. Are they hiring criminals? Well, we know they are. They always say it's an accident. Well, yeah, the background check showed they were a felon, but we still hired them. Our whistleblower says they're ordered to put that in the file, but that's who they want. They're literally just laying eggs of tyranny all over us. And every time we try to smash it, it just metastasizes into something new. 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231 is the number. And we protect your anonymity. It doesn't matter. The Genesis phone system doesn't have caller ID, doesn't see your number. Our computer system actually does here, but I'm going to actually have that turned off next time we use our phones on the Sunday show. The point is, I don't really have caller ID. It shows the number, to be technical. Call in anonymously. Give us your information. If you want to send it to whistleblowers@Infowars.com, we'd love it. Just like police and military have sent us. Oh, here's a plan for re-education camps. Army admits, yeah, that's our document. That's not for distribution. That's marked restricted. You shouldn't have it. And yeah, we got camps for you. Re-education camps, that is. And they're hiring all over the country, the jail guards for them. That part's public because it's public bids. That's how we first learned about it was people. Well, one guy who works for the federal government in intelligence. And he said, I'm allowed. I know my rights. He came on the show, remember? He said, I'm allowed to have my First Amendment as long as I don't give away anything classified. This is public. He's actually a supervisor in one of those agencies. I forget his name. It was like an NSA type of agency. But the point is that you've got to start saying no. They come to you and say, we're going to shoot you up with smallpox if you're police or military. They can't make you take something that's experimental. Courts have upheld they can't even make you take an approved vaccine if you're in the military. If you say no for religious reasons, same thing with police, but they lie to you and say you have no rights. That's a fraud. You've got to say no. And if you don't think I'm telling the truth, look it up. You can find where the smallpox and anthrax shots, the troops found out, said no. The military lied and said it was the law, said they had no rights. They went and got lawyers, found out it was true that there was no law and they couldn't make them take experimental vaccines. You've got to say no. You've got to say no. You've got to say no. Now, we know they're hiring defrocked priests, criminals, thieves, everything else, because that's what every authoritarian system does. I want to hear from TSA, not even whistleblowers. Just give us your take on this. We know they're hiring criminals. What's it like where you work? But don't say where you work. What city? 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Obviously, I said it on the fly yesterday. Hey, call in. They said what state they're in. In fact, don't even ask them what state they're in. Okay, John, who's taking the calls. Don't even ask what state they're in. I don't want to know. Because last time it's like, oh, yeah, I'm such and such in Rhode Island. Yeah, here at the airport, I watch the TSA and do the hiring, and I'm told to hire criminals. And I tell you, it's horrible, and I'm done with it. And I was thinking, he just said where he works, Rhode Island. How many airports are there? Oh, there's only one. I called him as soon as I got off air, and boy, they were already calling him. Like 15 minutes after the show, they were already calling him up. But again, what he's telling us is already admitted. The point is, it's on purpose. This is a huge scandal. It's dangerous that we're even covering it. Okay, we got two whistleblowers. Brian is a TSA worker calling in from somewhere in the United States. And Tom worked and hired TSA workers. Let's go to Tom and then Brian. We're going to go to Tom first. Tom, I don't know if you heard the caller yesterday. The video with the interview with the whistleblower is at Infowars.com. Whistleblower, TSA deliberately hiring psychopath criminals. And again, it's admitted they're hiring criminals and ignoring the background check. They claim that's a mistake. Can you confirm or are we wrong? Is what he said wrong?
No, he's correct. And I was on the original 9/11 red tag team right after 9/11, and we were hired. Now, this was not a government. This was not a government agency doing this. We were private contractors that the government hired to do all the resume reviews and the background checks and the screening. And it appeared to me after working there for a few weeks that it seemed like the more qualified you were in security or intelligence or law enforcement, the less chance you had of getting a job.
Yeah, they don't want to actually get real people because they want a bunch of crooks they can put in that'll let them ship drugs things through selectively. Is that accurate?
Yes. And the fact that we had people, the way they worked it was they ran the resume program through Monster.com. And if you wanted to work, let's say, at Denver International, you would fill out an application and a resume and send it in. And if you wanted to do different positions in that airport, try to get a position somewhere, you got to send in double that. We had people that were so desperate to get a position, we had 3-foot-high stacks of resumes and applications because they said, I'll take any position in any airport anywhere in the United States.
Now, do you think that's because a lot of them, as we've seen, are pervs that want to be able to touch children and they can't get away with it at Disney World? Because we're seeing that just perp convicted pervs and defrocked priests as the leaders of the airports.
Well, when we got done, we reviewed 3.5 million resumes in 4.5 months. I'm sorry, there's no way to do accurate background checks in that short of a period of time. And we ended up still hiring 70 known felons in that mix. And we were so secret down there. It was down in Reston, Virginia, where they hid us in a hotel. And we were not allowed to talk to the press. We were supposed to hide our badges anytime we left.
But I mean, to be clear, this is 10 years ago. This guy was currently doing this. And I don't know what he thought, saying where he was at and everything, because they came after him. And that's the last I've heard. But I mean, what do you think of, he's saying this is new though. He said before they'd hire pushy thugs and people and control freaks. He says now they want criminals and they're hiring them out of the corrections, rehabilitation program.
Back then they kept pushing us. You know, we've got money at stake here. We've got money at stake here. The only thing I can put together between what happened then and what's going on now is that they're trying to push in more ways to rape the taxpayers for more money so that they can stay in power.
All right, sir. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, you're got a great show, man. Keep up the good work. I appreciate everything you do.
Thank you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm an InfoWars member. You just keep up the good work, and we got your back.
Thank you so much. Yes, he's probably talking about prisonplanet.tv. We have a 15-day free trial. All right, Jesse Ventura's coming up at the 8 after. This next segment, pushing Ventura for you, Brian. I'm going to come right back to TSA worker to get his take on this, because we know they're hiring pedophiles and people and putting them in charge. We know they're doing it. And we know Stalin and Hitler did it. We know, this happens every time, but, I want to hear directly from you, because I hope it isn't as bad as our other whistleblower was saying.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, my friends, Jesse Ventura is scheduled to be coming up. We'll call him in about 2 minutes. We've got Billy Corrigan coming up with a bombshell interview I taped this weekend. Believe me, when I say bombshell, it's bombshell. Let's go ahead and talk to Brian, who's a TSA worker, I guess current or former. Let us know. Thank you for calling in.
How's it going, Alex? It's a privilege to talk to you.
Well, tell us. The whistleblower we had yesterday said that he's involved in hiring, and they now, this is a new policy, they want criminals. Have you heard anything like this?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of things like that, but I just want to vouch for what the last caller said. I totally agree with that. But also, a lot of my fellow workers, they also, it's going to sound sick, but they also play games, let's see how much we can get away with, you know what I mean? How much can we touch? I don't do that, but I hear a lot of other workers basically playing those sick games, and it's very, very sick.
Why would someone want to spill somebody's dead grandpa's ashes on the ground and then laugh at them? I just don't understand that.
You know, people are sick. This country is going to crap. And like I said, TSA just hires the most disgusting, most evil people they can find.
You just hit the nail on the head. That it's not just the police or the TSA or any of this. As a culture, it's getting very sick. Now, have you heard anything about hiring criminals?
I don't know any specifically, but I do know, a lot of people I've talked to do have criminal backgrounds. And also, a lot of, for instance, a lot of slips that are placed in the bag saying that the TSA checks your bag and if something's missing, they're deliberately going and taking these items, taking these, personal belongings, because, it's kind of a game to them.
Well, we've seen that where they either leave marijuana in and say, enjoy your weed, or they take stuff. They stole a baby rattle or a teething ring at JFK that was for my daughter in a little box. They unwrapped it, stole it, didn't like the other rattle, left it. Thought that, and that was 6 years ago, 7 years ago. What else can you tell us? So you're saying you work at an airport with TSA currently, you're TSA to be clear, and there are people bragging that they have criminal records that work there?
Yes.
What type of criminal records?
Robbery, theft. I don't know of any people personally that have, child abuse or anything in that kind of nature, but a lot of them, just by talking to them, you'd be able to tell that they are pretty much criminals.
Well, that's what criminals do. They brag that, hey, I've been in jail. Hey, I've done this. Hey, I've done that. So you're saying you'll be sitting around? Give us an example, sitting around the break room and they talk about how they're, convicted robbers, or what do they say?
Pretty much stuff like that. And it's disgusting. I'm telling you, the games that they like to play, let's see how far we can touch this person with before they complain. Let's see how far we can get with this little kid. Just completely disgusting, evil, demonic, just you name it.
Well, that's what the whistleblower said yesterday. He said now they're outside the checkpoint. There was a mother with two kids, and he goes, watch this. I'm going to go mess with her, and went and searched her belongings. What about good-looking women? I have seen what you'd call a hottie. Over and over again, I go, watch this. Are there people that like to pull hotties out?
Oh, most definitely. But you'd also be surprised that the people that actually don't specifically go for the hottie, they'd rather go for the old lady. They'd rather go for the child, or, you know, they would rather, you would think that they'd go for the hottie, but they wouldn't.
Attractive women are very beautiful, obviously, but I couldn't imagine wanting to make them let me put my hands on them. It just sends shivers up my spine, but I guess I'm not a sicko. Thank you so much for your courage, sir, calling in. We're going to have more TSA tell-all. We're going to get the documents. This is the type of thing they may come after us for. Please pray for us. We'll be right back with Jesse Ventura.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, he's one of my favorite guests, and he's a friend of mine. He is the real McCoy, a real patriot who loves liberty, and he'll tell you like it is. Jesse Ventura, movie star, star wrestler, best-selling author, former Minnesota governor, also a mayor. His new book is out, and I should add it's available at Infowars.com. It's excellent for people that are still in the whole left-right paradigm, Democrats and Republicans. And I've got a few news clips we're going to play later where he's on CNN, MSNBC, you name it. And they're like, how dare you, call them gang members in the parties? Or how dare you imply 9/11 could be something than what we were told? We're going to get his take on some of that. Because it's admitted that the West is using al-Qaeda in Libya and Syria to overthrow the governments. I mean, that's even in London Telegraph, LA Times. I showed it to you last hour. If you're a radio listener, I stream video at prisonplanet.tv. But I read the headlines on air. This is so crazy that this is going on. Now, Jesse Ventura has had a big battle with the TSA, as you know, but they won't even give him his day in court. We also want to get an update. We haven't talked to him in 2 weeks about where's the TV show that was finished 4 or 5 months ago. And also, I have confirmed from program directors, and you've heard them here on this show, radio stations we're on and that Eric Mancal Muller's on, because we're on a lot of the same stations for whatever reason, like the Big 810 out in Orlando. They haven't had the problem, though. Other stations have. Where when Jesse Ventura's on and talking about the censorship of his episode or FEMA camps, there's a scrambling that happens. Now, we don't know if it's at the satellite, the radio satellite. I'm on a similar one to Mancal, but a different one. Or we don't know if it's the EAS that's wired in at the hub point. By law now, at the radio station transmitter. And I've talked to engineers. They say, yeah, they could send a radio control and scramble it. And now Obama has announced, this is in Reuters AP yesterday, that they're going to have EAS break in with and take over your cell phone with presidential announcements. And that your phone's going to have it a presidential ring. And then it will override whatever call you're on. Same thing with TV, cable, everything. So let's talk about the censorship of the police state episode. What's happening with the new episode? And I know he was on Mancal talking about this. We investigated it and interviewed program directors on air and off air. And let me tell you, it's freaking them out. So, Jesse, that was confirmed. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, first of all, it won't affect me with the cell phone, Alex. I've never owned one, nor will I ever, so I'm going to plead ignorant on that. Unfortunately, I won't hear the president's messages because I don't use a cell phone, so I guess I'll have to get them some other way, or you can tell me about them. But, no, I think it's very dangerous what's going on between that and these, that they now allow these unmanned drones, these surveillance drones are being okayed to fly throughout our country. I hate to say it, but our Bill of Rights, as I state in my book, is in shambles. I mean, we've got government that just ignores it. They don't care. We don't have habeas corpus anymore. That's been suspended since George Bush started his folly in the wars. Obama's never reinstated it, so you don't even have a right to a lawyer anymore in this country. And I don't know when people here are going to wake up and realize that the Democrats and Republicans don't have your best interest in mind.
Well, I agree with you. Let me give you the headline, because the guys were able to actually pull it up so you can read it. And so, and it has a link to the White House announcement, and so radio listeners can also find it. The headline up at Infowars.com from that article states, and we'll throw that back up on screen here real quick, DHS cell phone alert system follows you around, presidential message to have their own distinctive ringtone, and it's a, we have links to the White House announcement and the Department of Homeland Security statement. And get this, Governor, Walmarts are phasing in telescreens with big sis on them telling you to look out for terrorists.
Well, I guess they're going to inform us well, Alex. Isn't that a wonderful public service they're doing for all of us?
Weren't you in a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger where they have billboards saying, watch your neighbors? It's called The Running Man?
Yeah, yeah. We The Running Man is becoming quite prophetic. We don't quite have a game show like it because, you know, it was based on a game show. And actually, The Running Man, for many people that don't realize it, it was written by a gentleman named Richard Bachman, Bill. That was a pseudonym for Stephen King. Stephen King wrote a group of short stories, The Running Man included, under that name. But it originated from Stephen King, so if anybody would know about bizarre things and have a bizarre imagination, it would be Stephen King. But he's like a prophet because a lot of the things that he writes about, and him and George Orwell, are now coming true today. And, you know, again, we haven't quite got to the point where we have the Running Man game show, but we're to the point where reality TV is getting pretty darn close to it.
Well, we have all the gun camera footage of people being killed in Iraq and places, and then the video games simulate killing. So I think in a way they've turned war into a game show. I've talked to business owners.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, Alex. You know, I feel for kids today because kids that play these games and all these things that you see advertised on TV, you know, with the killing and all that stuff, it's going to callous them towards it. They're going to think it's a everyday activity in the normal way of life, and I don't think that's necessarily a good idea. One thing that's always amazed me, Alex, is how sex is rated X, but violence is only R.
Oh, yeah, you can have two boxers beat the daylights out of each other, and that's family fun, but you see a woman's breast, it's the end of the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing how really strange we are as a society that sex could be X-rated. That's worse than running around with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and movies like that that, you know, show mass murderers and, you know, people being killed, left slasher movies, all that stuff. Those only get an R rating, but sex gets an X rating.
Very, very well said. I totally agree with you on that point. Well, I mean, they admit we're being desensitized to all this. Speaking of censorship, I know that we're not supposed to get into the whole story because some of that's private, but people always ask me about this. Here we are over a year later, and they censored that Homeland Security FEMA special where you blew the camps wide open. Now they're doing urban warfare drills. The Army admits they've got the camps. I know you've been out of pocket, but I can send you that if you'd like. Now, we were sent an Army document a few months ago. The Army came out and said, you shouldn't have that. But yes, we have re-education camps. So much of this is coming out in the open now. And so recap for folks what happened with that episode and now what's happened with the new season.
Well, what happened with that particular episode was, are we turning into a police state? And of course, we discovered the documents. Congressman Cohn of Tennessee was one of the co-sponsors of it. And we found the documents where Homeland Security ordered FEMA to build no less than 6 detention camps. And, of course, the cover story is it's for disasters like Katrina so that they will have places. They're located in 6 different locations throughout the country. And that if there's a big disaster that hits, what they tell you is that it'll be good then because we'll have places to put the, for lack of better term, refugees from the disasters until they can find, you know, living quarters, other places or whatever. But, you know, how can they be refugee camps when they build them with fences with barbed wire on? I mean, if they're just simply holding you there as a temporary thing due to a disaster, well, then why would they need things of that order? Why you shouldn't be able to come and go as you please? And the thing to always look at for people, the novice way to look at it is always look at the barbed wire on the top of the fence. If the barbed wire faces outward, it's to keep people from the outside getting in. If barbed wire faces inward, it's to keep people from the inside getting out. So that's one easy way. When you ever see a barbed wire or a chain link fence with barbed wire on the top, look at the way the barbed wire is facing. If it's facing in, it's to keep prisoners in there. If it's facing out, then it's to keep outsiders from getting in.
Also, if it's coiled on the top, it's a detention center in many cases as well.
Oh, yeah. If it's razor wire, absolutely. I mean, that's a whole different ballgame. That's another cup of tea with that stuff. That razor wire will stop anybody from any direction.
Well, I've talked to program directors who've confirmed here on air that when you go, that when you went on ManCal, or that when I go on his show, and now I've confirmed it's happened to my show some, that they scramble it when we give bill numbers and talk about things like Emergency Centers Establishment Act. What do you think's happening there?
Well, ManCal, I've done his show twice now on this book tour, and he's informed me he's outraged. He's going crazy over it. I appreciate ManCal a little bit because, you know, he was the one who at first didn't believe that waterboarding was torture, but like a good journalist, he had it done to himself. And now he's completely reversed himself. He realizes that it is torture because he had it done to himself, you know, where they administered the waterboarding to him.
And you know it's bad because you've had it done to you.
Yeah, back in Sears School, we all essentially did many years ago. So, and they used to call it Chinese water torture, but they got a way of changing the names. Then it became waterboarding, and now thanks to Dick Cheney, it's called enhanced interrogation. But getting back to the show, that's what we learned. And, of course, when we confronted Congressman Cohn with it, he actually read on the congressional floor an outrage statement against me, Michael Braverman, and my television show. So we actually went into the congressional record on it, but on that particular show. But the weird thing about it was it aired one time, and then it was taken off the air, and now True TV won't even acknowledge we did the show. It's out there on YouTube, I would guess. It's still there. You got to search and find it.
They also erased it off the DVRs, Governor.
Okay, well, that's news to me, too. So, obviously they don't want any of this out there for the public consumption or public comment or knowledge on it. And as far as the show goes this year, it's interesting because you were just talking about TSA and all that
stuff. Hold on, Governor. Stay there. Stay there. We've got to go to break. Governor Jesse Ventura is our guest. Get his book and support the First Amendment. They can't erase this off your TiVo. Democrats and Republicans. Infowarsshop.com. And bookstores everywhere. We have it discounted with the Free Citizen Rule Book, Evil Constitution, at InfoWars. Governor Jesse Ventura is our guest. Gov, you were getting into the TV show for folks that just joined us. I was saying, where's the TV show? The third installment. I know it got into the TSA. It was supposed to already air 4 or 5 months ago. Where is it? You said, that's interesting, Alex. And then we went to break.
Okay, well, it is interesting because we finished the shows right on time like we normally do in November, and usually the editing takes place immediately, and we're on the air sometime in either mid-January or early February, but here we are approaching July, and the shows have not aired, and of course one of the shows we focused on this year was the TSA. And one of the things we learned is that they're going to come out with these wristbands that will, what they're going to sell to the public is they will have all your information and, so you'll be banded much like a dog collar, only it'll be around your wrist, and therefore you can stick the wristband in something and they'll know exactly who you are, which seems on the surface like maybe a good thing. But underneath, what we also learned is they can decapacitate you with these. Much like a taser, where if they want to drop you in the airport, if you're wearing one of these, they will have the ability to do that to you.
Wow.
Yeah, we learned that on the show, that these things also double for a security device, as I said, to where, like, they'll say, if you're causing trouble or we suspect you of being, having bad purposes at the airport that they can just literally drop you like a taser with them if you're wearing them. So that'll be more stuff the Lemmings, I'm sure, will love to get, and they'll wear them faithfully.
Well, no, I saw Homeland Security a few years ago. They had a meeting and listened to a proposal to make everyone wear security bracelets, and they added, oh, by the way, as an afterthought, they have a taser function in them, and Homeland Security was actually pushing it. So you're saying you were doing an episode researching that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's in the episode on the TSA, where we expose that whole thing, that if you do put these, they'll require them at the airports. And that way, allegedly, you won't have to go through the body searches. You won't have to go through the X-ray machine if it properly identifies you. But on the flip side, it can also be used to drop you down, you know, and to get you under control if they had any need to do that.
Wow.
So I'm glad I'm not flying anymore. You know, I made the choice when they wouldn't allow me to go to court over my Fourth Amendment constitutional rights, saying they didn't have jurisdiction. I just followed what Janet Napolitano said, you know, the head of the Gestapo. That's what I like to call Homeland Security. She said, if you don't like it, don't fly. So I don't like it, so I'm not flying.
Governor, I mean, if it's already this bad today, how much worse is it going to get?
I don't know, Alex. You know, and I said this on another interview. I said, you know, this right now is the first time in my life where I can say this. All the rest of my life, no matter how bad today is in the United States, I always had the feeling that tomorrow would be a better day. This is the first time in my life that if it's bad today, I actually looked at tomorrow could now be worse. You know, I mean, we're getting an assault on the middle class that's unbelievable, you know, and people, an assault on unions. Now, granted, unions can be overreach their bounds. They can be, you know, bad because they're run by people. But for the most part, unions are what created the middle class. And if you look at a chart that shows median wage, and if you look at the same chart that shows union falling, the lines are identical. As unions fall, so does median income, and they fall identically. People need to understand it was unions that gave us things like collective bargaining. It gave you things to be able to get health insurance at work. It gave you things against the employers that you wouldn't have as an individual. Case in point, I did the Fran Tarkenton show, and he was wailing pretty hard on the unions. Then I brought up, Fran, remember something. You and the NFL had a union, or still have one. I said, in pro wrestling, we have never had one. That's why at one point in my career, I wrestled 63 consecutive nights in a row without a day off. 63 days in a row. I never had health insurance. This was back in the early 80s. I was paying $5,000 a year to insure my family, my wife, and my kids, where if we would have had a union, I would have probably only had to pay $1,500 a year, because there's strength in numbers. And also, you know, in pro wrestling, where in pro football, pro baseball, all the sports that have unions, they have retirement.
Stay there, Jesse.
In the world of pro wrestling, there is no
We're on the march.
Whatsoever.
The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Okay, Jesse Ventura is with us another 30 minutes. Always love having him on. We're going to open the phones up here in about 10, 15 minutes for a quick comment or question for Governor Ventura. 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. You got cut off by that break there, Governor, finishing your point about unions. Yeah, you'll see a lot of football players, others, who are making $5 million a year. They'll be real, quote, conservative criticizing unions, but they sure like their union. I don't like mainline unions because they're anti-gun, pro-New World Order. You know, they've been taken over as well, but certainly there's no checks and balances to the big mega corporate unions, these cartels that come in and buy off our governments.
Not at all. And going back to wrestling for a moment, the other thing is in pro wrestling, because there's not a union, there's no retirement. so you can wrestle 25 years, and let's face it, wrestlers are not accountants. They're not, you know, specialists to know how to invest and take care of their futures all the time. They're professional wrestlers. And you can put 25 years in the business, and when you're done, you get nothing. Not a thing. Because there's no union protection at all in pro wrestling.
Well, there's not. You know, I've got a lot of questions here that I want to raise, Governor, but what is front and center on your plate right now? What's your greatest concern? What's stuck in your craw?
Well, what I'm most concerned about is our loss of freedom. You know, the Bill of Rights to me has been, and our Constitution is in shambles. The very cloth of our nation that we're supposed to abide by. I mean, in chapter two of my book, you know, I have quotes, remarkable quotes from George Washington, especially the father of our country, talking about how political parties, how awful they are, and Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, too. And what troubles me the most is we're now a country that doesn't seem to want to read history. And, of course, the old cliche is true. If you don't read history, you're destined to repeat it. And we're heading right down that road because people are more interested in these phony reality shows on TV. They're more interested in sports happening throughout the world. Which, don't get me wrong, that's great entertainment, and you need to entertain yourself. We all work hard, and you know you owe yourself some entertainment, but you also owe yourself to pay attention. And pay attention to what's going on around you. And what bothers me most is most people have this laissez-faire attitude. Well, it isn't going to happen to me. And until it does come up and happen to them, they're not taking any precautions. They're not paying attention to government. And people are not voting. And right now, voting and voting against Democrats and Republicans, to me, has to be the number one order for this fall. I can't emphasize it enough. Stop voting for these two bought-out, bribed political parties. In fact, they used to always say, if you voted for me, Jesse Ventura, in Minnesota, you were wasting your vote because I couldn't win. Well, I did win. And we also ought to demand that Governor Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate for president, be included in the debates this fall. Why do we only get two leaders of the two gangs who get the debate? Let's bring in a neutral person like Governor Johnson and see what he has to say. And then if you still want to vote Democrat and Republican, well, at least you've been given a third option to consider.
Well, you're right. And even if you don't agree with Johnson on every issue, the point is it's about forcing the two-party monopoly, the two twins, to let in another voice, which is something they desperately don't want. Because
Alex, let me add something. No one's ever going to agree with the candidate 100%. You're never going to see a candidate for public office where you can honestly say, you know, I agree with everything he says. Take Ron Paul and I. You know, I think Ron Paul would have been the best president without any doubt. And yet we differ on the abortion issue. Ron Paul does not support abortion at all. I do. I don't necessarily support people having abortion, but I don't support government telling women what they can or can't do with their bodies.
Yeah, well, Ron Paul comes out and basically says it's become a state issue, and people are attacking Rand Paul right now because he's saying, hey, don't have mandatory federal labeling for GMO, but he's saying the feds don't have that jurisdiction. It should be a state issue, and that's a complex issue, but I understand why he's saying that.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, I just got a communication from Rand Paul, and let me tell you this, Alex. I don't know if you're aware of this one. You probably are, because you're usually more aware than I am. But I got a thing from Rand Paul. Are you aware of this treaty in the UN that they're going to try to get us to sign on to?
Which one? They've got an anti...
Well, it's going to happen this fall, and it's one that will have international gun registration.
Oh, yeah, sure, sure. No, there's the treaty that Hillary says they're going to sign without Congress and register and restrict small arms, the UNIDIR treaty, yeah. And then there's also the Law of the Sea treaty that hands over everything to the UN. Yeah, speak to that, Governor. Where do you stand on UN law restricting our guns?
Well, that's absurd. I mean, we have the Second Amendment, which is to protect our right as individuals to have firearms. It's not there. People need to understand. They try to sell you, well, we're not going to inflict on your hunting and fishing. This has nothing to do with hunting and fishing. Back when they wrote the Bill of Rights, if you didn't hunt and fish, you didn't eat. this was done so that the public could arm themselves in case government became oppressive. Well, what's going to happen with this deal is we will now throw our Second Amendment out the window. We will then fall under an international arms law that will tell you, that will require you to register all your guns internationally with some international unit who eventually, you know, is going to disarm you. And, you know, that's the liberal side of the issue. That's their thing. That's like Bill Maher on TV is for that. And I go, well, that, you know, how ridiculous is that? Because I was in the Philippines the day Ferdinand Marcos declared martial law and became a dictator. The first thing he did as a dictator, he gave the Philippine people 2 weeks to turn in all their guns or it was the death sentence. Now, why would a dictator make that his top priority? It's obvious why. So the public has no way to rise up against him.
That's right, Governor, and I'm very glad that you're here speaking about it. Here's our article, June 16th, Infowars.com. Obama seeks UN and U.S. congressional ratification of UN Global Gun Control Treaty. And then it has links to the UN in our article where they're actually calling for it at the United Nations. UN.org, disarmament, /COV/arms/arms trade treaty. Registration, restriction, and in the UN treaty, they state civilian ownership of firearms threatens the legitimate power monopoly of the state. So they're admitting they want a power monopoly. What you just said, I say that's illegitimate. And I tell you, if they want to cause a civil war, Governor, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, look at it this way, Alex. I'll give you the best example. I live in Mexico 5 months out of the year. In Mexico, private ownership of guns is illegal. And look what's going on down there. 20 to 30,000 people a year are killed by the drug cartels because the regular people down there have no mechanism to defend themselves. And so all these guns advocates that want to disarm us, take a look at the country of Mexico. As I said, they have big signs when you drive into Mexico. Firearms and even ammunition are illegal. If you're caught with them, you will go immediately to Mexican prison. And look at the end results. It's the old cliche. When the honest people don't have guns, only the bad people do, because they're not getting theirs legally anyway. So they're going to have guns. They don't care one way or the other, the criminals. And that's exactly what would happen up here. The only people then that would have firearms would be criminals.
I'm on the UN Treaty website where they say they want the abolition of all of our guns. And it says strengthening peace and security through disarmament, but then only the UN, who, by the way, is invading countless countries as we speak, has the guns. Imagine what Hitler would have done if the rest of the world had been disarmed.
Yeah. Well, you know, a little bit. I mean, we still had our militaries, naturally, that fought him. You know, it wasn't the civilian people necessarily.
But now it's a global government. Now it's a global government.
Yeah, but you're talking about a global government here. How then do we rise up if we don't like the global government? You know, I guess, you know, we can get a bunch of slingshots or something and stand up to them.
Governor Jesse Ventura is with us. His book is already going up the bestseller charts, Democrips and Republicans. Get it out to everybody out there that you know who's not awake to what's happening. A lot of Founding Father quotes, a lot of great insight available at InfoWarsShop.com and bookstores everywhere. But speaking of global government, since we just raised that point, you were on the Kudlow Report last week, and I'm not going to play the whole clip because we don't have time. I want to go to calls, but they savaged you for daring to say there's some holes in the official 9/11 story, to say the least. But let's stop there. Here's the same report. I thought there was no global government. I thought the big banks, like in your TV show last year, where you expose, run the global government. I thought that was all made up, Governor. Here is CNBC talking about the global government 2 days ago.
So mostly what they do is hold summits. I think that right now the question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight. Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge? Jim Urio, you say we've got some downside here, a correction in the markets. Fine. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do? Aren't we all just counting on the fact that there's a Bernanke put and that we won't go any lower?
lower than, say, 5% down from here?
Of course we are, because if we look at the economic data, there's nothing to get excited about in that. So we, you know, yesterday we saw some reluctance for the Bernanke Fed to expand their balance sheets and pump more money in. But the stock market knows that reluctance is totally different than not willing to do it at all. And that's why we saw oil and oil implode and gold trade off heavily, because they're not a protected class. If the stock market starts trading off in the 10 to 15 to 20% area, the chairman's going to come in and throw some stimulus at it. So to answer your question, we are absolutely slaves to central banks. Because, and we'd love to be slaves of the economy, but the economic numbers continue to do nothing but trend.
All right, let's stop there. They go on to basically thank the Federal Reserve, the full clips at Infowars.com. They go on to basically thank the Federal Reserve and say, well, they're just trying to fix things. We'd like a market, but everything's run by them. They're the main recipients of the trillions in bailout. They sold the derivatives. In Europe, 90%+ of the debt is theirs, but the media acts like it's the public as they raise taxes, cut benefits, further stalling the economy. Governor, there were literally in the last few weeks more than 30 articles in mainstream news admitting an authoritarian world government's here run by banks, but they know best, and thank God they're there. Why do you think they're coming out in the open now?
Well, because eventually the truth will come out, Alex. You know, you can't keep things hidden forever, so they want to get ahead of the eight ball. They want to put the spin on it, so that all the lemmings in the country will be comfortable with it when it actually does come a clear-cut reality out there. That's why they're doing it. It's very intelligent to do it that way. If it's going to happen, they want to be ahead of the curve on it, so that they can put their spin on it first, and that way anyone else that opposes it will be fighting an uphill battle.
Exactly, because people only remember the first time they heard it reported and how it was reported. They don't remember later, like the official story of 9/11. We're told this is the official story, that's it, go back to sleep. But when you actually look closer, it's got more holes in it than Swiss cheese. On the same show, they tried to imply that you were bad and that you were saying, you know, like the Americans did it instead of the globalists. What's your take on that?
Well, again, you know, anyone that questions 9/11 in this country to mainstream media is considered a nutcase. How dare you do it? You're unpatriotic. And, you know, they offer us no information. They accept the 9/11 report that had to be, I learned this, everything in the 9/11 report had to be agreed upon unanimously, or it didn't get in the report, you know, and everything of that nature. So it doesn't surprise me a bit, Alex.
Well, the fact is, the system is scared of free thinkers, people that'll tell it like it is, yourself, myself, Ron Paul, and so many others. But as you pointed out earlier, the answer is everybody speaking out, everybody not going along with the cookie cutter mainline system.
Well, again, I'll tell you what, you and I talked about organizing a boycott of the airports for one day. I'd like to change that now, and I think we need to organize and we need to protest the fact that the upcoming election will only be between two hand-picked people by the gangs. We need to get Gary Johnson in the debates, and I think if we're going to stand up and be counted, there is the spot to do it, because it's right on the horizon. Why should we only get the two voices of the two bribed out parties, where you're going to get business as usual, sure, when you've got a brilliant man like Gary Johnson waiting in the wings, who would make an outstanding president?
And by the way, I saw clips on the news too. We've got the clip in there. Was it CNN or MSNBC where they were criticizing you? You were on the show and they're like, we don't like the fact that you're criticizing, calling them gangs. Do you remember that interview?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They came after me real hard. In fact, the guy tried to lecture me that I need to go out and talk to people to learn what a real gang is, the Crips and the Bloods. And I find that laughable, considering I used to be a full-patch member of the Mongols Motorcycle Club, the black and white of Southern California. So, Alex, I speak from experience. I've been in a gang, and I've also been in government. These bozos on TV, all they do is go to college and write a book. They have no life experiences. They wouldn't know the inside of a gang if it came up and bit them on the ass.
Well said. Let's jam in some calls in the time we have left with Jesse Ventura. Joe in South Carolina, you're first up. Go ahead.
Hey, Governor Ventura, thanks for taking my call. I'm just curious, you know, if we wind up a Romney or Obama after this, I mean, what is your prediction as to what the future will hold as far as TSA and whatnot? I mean, do you think it's just going to keep going on this way?
Oh, absolutely. It won't matter which guy wins, whether it's Romney or Obama, because they're all going to go with the premise, just like they won't cut the military budget at all. No mainstream candidate will cut the military budget a bit, because none of them want to be portrayed as soft on defense. My God, we have enough nuclear bombs. We have enough military power. Our entire military budget is larger than the whole rest of the world's, damn near. I mean, nobody can beat our military. It can't be done right now. Why do we continue to have a military like that? And getting back to your question, it don't matter if you get Romney or Obama. You're going to get the same policies you've had and the same ones you're going to have.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. We're going to come back from break. Only got 5 minutes, 6 minutes left with Jesse Ventura on the other side. So have your question ready. Christine in Washington. Shannon in Wisconsin, Mike in Mass, Aaron in Canada. We'll try to get to all of you. He's probably got another interview coming up after this where I twist his arm or do 5 more minutes with us. Billy Corrigan is coming up of Smashing Pumpkins. He's a listener of the show, and this is a taped interview I did over the weekend with him. It's pretty bombshell, and so that is coming up as well. But Governor Ventura is our guest. Democrats and Republicans, the new book, available at InfoWarsShop.com. Or at bookstores everywhere. Jesse Ventura, again, is our guest. Your call straight ahead. Governor Jesse Ventura will be with us 5 minutes in the next hour to take more of your calls. We appreciate him doing that. And then we've got the Billy Corrigan interview coming up. Talks about a lot of hardcore political subjects. This will definitely be a newsmaker. So stay with us for that. We talk about the New World Order, GMO, TSA, the police state, all of it. Christine in Washington, you're on the air with Governor Jesse Ventura.
Jesse?
Hi,
I love and respect you totally. You are the most beautiful being of light. My question, that is how I feel about you. You have more courage than any man I've ever met. Anyway.
Well, I appreciate that, Christine, but I'm sure there's a lot of people out there with more courage than me, too.
Well, I don't know any. But anyway, Jesse, I wanted to know why you were not on Coast to Coast. I was looking forward to
The reason was my schedule said they were supposed to call me at 10 o'clock at night. I sat up to 10 o'clock until 11:15 and no call. And so I finally just got tired and went to
bed. That was probably just a time zone issue.
You know, I think somebody screwed up and either I got the wrong, because according to my schedule, I was supposed to be on from 10 to midnight. I sat and waited from 10 o'clock until 11:15, and my eyes wouldn't stay open.
All right,
anymore,
well, listen, so we'll, I'm sure it's a time zone issue, so I'm sure that's going to happen. That's an important show to do if you want to get the word out. It'll be more than all the shows you've been on combined, probably. 16 million listeners a night. Thank you so much, Christine. Aaron in Canada, you're on the air with Jesse Ventura.
Hey, Jesse Ventura, Mr. Jones, how's it going?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, I was just wondering how Jesse Ventura feels about InfoWars and Alex Jones selling pens and canteens from China.
Okay, there's a nice little... we sell a lot of stuff made in America, but we sell things from all over. We sell... I think the inside of the canteen is made in the U.S., but I think the tin is made in China, yeah.
Well, fine. What about Walmart? Everything they sell comes from China, too.
No. It's just a troll call. I mean, that's what people do.
What are you supposed to do? Go out? I mean, I don't look at the label of where everything was made if I want something.
Well, we try our best. Most of what we sell is made in the United States, and I'm nothing against the people in China having jobs. I'm against paying $20 million to ship General Motors to China. That's wrong. So it's just a cowardly attempt to make us look.
And not only that, Alex, when I use fireworks, most of that all comes from China, and I certainly enjoy that on the 4th of July.
Oh, it's all just ridiculous. We're all evil. I just bought some fireworks before this, July. I'm bad. Shannon in Wisconsin, you're not calling on a phone made in China, are you?
probably is. Hey, hi, Jesse. Hi, Alex. Hey, you guys are, I'm honored. You're two of my...
thank you. We're almost out of time. People. Do you have a question?
Yes. You had the thing, say, use your listeners for assets. My question is, with the TSA crap that's going on, why can't we have staged, planned events, to get the media hype? Because, it's always that people don't react until it hits home, like the guy getting his grandfather's ashes dumped.
Let me interject. One of the problems with that, just like the Iraq War, there were massive pro-peace protests against the Iraq War, but you're dealing with mainstream media. They ignore them. If we were to go protest, what are the chances that mainstream media would even cover it?
By the way, Governor, this just broke today. I'll ask you when we come back in the next segment about it. They dumped the guy's grandpa's ashes out to basically see what they were and then laughed at him. That's in mainstream television. This shows how crazy the TSA is.
Oh, I agree with that. And let me make one statement here before we go. And this is to all military veterans as well as current military personnel. Remember, you took an oath to defend the Constitution and the Bill of Rights against all enemies, foreign and domestic, especially the current military. Do not go against your own United
yes, sir.
States citizen.
Yes, sir. We're coming right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, final segment with Governor Jesse Ventura's new book, Democrips and Reblublicans. Excellent. No More Gangs in Government. Available at InfoWarsShop.com. Amongst all the other great books and videos we carry, I want to jam in a few final calls for Jesse ahead of the Billy Corgan interview coming up. Smashing Pumpkins' new album's out, but he gets really political. Jesse, you say the most powerful stuff off air. You were making the point of, hey, Alex, well, make that point you were making off air to the general audience.
Well, on the military, the thing I wanted to ensure for all military personnel, current, especially current and former, like myself, remember, everyone in the military, you took an oath to defend the Constitution and the Bill of Rights against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I urge current military personnel, do not ever act against a United States citizen. That defies the oath that you took. Always remember your oath. I can't say that enough to our wonderful people that serve our country.
Well said. Very well said. What about your point asking me, hey, are we going to end up in these camps?
Well, I just said off the air, Alex, I hope that you and I end up in the same FEMA camp. At least I'll know I'll have one friend there I can talk to.
Let's hope that doesn't happen, though it would be cool to hang out with you. It's always an open door down here to come visit with Terry. Let's talk to Mike in Mass. Mike, you're on the air with Jesse Ventura. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's an honor to speak with both of you. I had a question real quick and a word of encouragement. It's really quick. I've been awake for a while, but I haven't had anybody to do anything with, no activism, nothing like that. And I joined Planet InfoWars about a month ago. I met a guy. He's on the same page. He amped me up. I amped him up. Last week, we met up with two more people. We're already growing exponentially. So as tyranny, as the clampdown comes down, so is the awakening and freedom and liberty. And we're going to beat these guys.
Beautiful.
But my question for Governor Ventura is about gun confiscation. What do we do about, I'm sure a lot of people have the question about how if all these guns are registered, it almost seems like it's futile to even have them. If they're, they're going to probably go after him first, right?
I would think so. I now have, I don't have any guns.
Of course, you're being sarcastic. Yeah,
no, I'm not. I'm just stating for a fact, in case anyone's listening, I've gotten rid of all mine. I don't own any.
That's why you laughed at the end. Yeah, so the answer is you're not turning them in.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I sold them all, right.
You're something else.
Well, you take that the way you want to, Alex. I don't have any guns.
Exactly. Well, you know, don't you think it's going to start a civil war if they try to confiscate guns?
I don't know. And with the way the lemmings are in this country, I'm sure there'd be a civil war with some of us, but not all of us, because you've got a great many people out there that believe we should be disarmed. They've bought into the hype, and they think that government will somehow make them safe, and they'll be safe from everything as long as they don't have a firearm.
Well, in closing, I think we're going to leave it there because there's no time to go to other calls, but look, there are 3 to 4, some months, 5 million guns being sold. It's like more than triple the previous record. It was the double the previous record. And a lot of people I know are saying that's their line in the sand, Governor. Just like in 1776, when they came to confiscate the guns, that's when it started. And I think there are a lot of people out there that aren't going to turn them in.
Well, I hope they don't, because, you know, pheasant hunting's always good and this and that, and you know, you won't be able to do any of those things anymore, and you know where I'm going. And but I certainly hope that at some point the line is drawn in the sand. I hope it's drawn in the sand again, and people will vote for Governor Gary Johnson, the Libertarian. I guarantee you he's not going to take your guns away.
Well said. The new book available, InfoWarsShop.com. Gov, you're going to join us again in September. Say hi to the family. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Alex, and keep up the great work. And hi to all the listeners. And hi to my buddy Willie down there in Austin.
Willie Nelson.
All right. Thanks, Alex. Bye-bye.
Bye, Governor. There he goes. We'll be back with Billy Corrigan.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does
he. We've got a real treat for listeners and viewers. Billy Corrigan, the founder of Smashing Pumpkins, a prolific songwriter, guitarist, you name it, joins us to talk about his new hit album. And let me tell you, from the Chicago Tribune to Rolling Stone, people are saying this is one of his best albums ever, and I had a chance to download it and listen to it just the other day, and found that I think it's some of the best work ever from, well, Billy Corrigan and his great crew. Billy, wonderful having you today, and congratulations on the rave reviews.
Thank you, Alex. It's an interesting time being sort of thrown back into the American zeitgeist. And what's funny is then, you know, like some of the things that you and I talked about a few months back, some of the ideas that are going on as people are sort of waking up to the political shifts, the social shifts, the spiritual shifts, you know, suddenly then having a voice in the American mainstream, you know, I'm able to talk about some of these issues in a way that people can understand because I've been around for a while, you know.
Well, you certainly have been. Let's cut right to the chase with this new album. Beyond political, you're talking about the nature of reality, you know, quasars and celestial and panopticons and, of course, Oceania, right out of 1984. Break down the spirit that you were basically channeling when you put together this new album.
Well, I think some of the roots start on this album, start from the last album in 2007, Zeitgeist, which, you know, on some conscious or unconscious level, listening to you and doing my own research on the internet kind of led me to a dark place where I felt, you know, what's happening to my country? How do I grapple with these feelings that I'm having? You know, when I started in music, you know, it was all cheery, Reagan, you know, flags a-wave and everything is great. And, you know, there was a lot of kind of middle-class discourse on stuff that maybe now seems really small in comparison to what we're really grappling with now as we see what's coming economically down the pike. So I think if you can draw a line from sort of a darker place in trying to grapple with the American dream, which Zeitgeist had something to do with, 5 years later, now Oceania, I think, is a way to say, you know, I'm just not going to live in that spirit, that energy, that dark energy. I've heard you talk about it, and certainly I've thought about it a lot, which is, you know, we got to live, you know. Some of the most inspirational stuff I've ever heard you talk about is when you just talk about nature, about how God's kingdom inspires you to, you know, to fight the good fight and to, you know, think of families and what life's really about. And I think that my album is really about that. It's like we all go through hard times. Our country's going through a hard time. It's not a political album in that sense, but at the same time, if the politics is part of the backdrop in the foreground, I just want to embrace my life and get right with God, get right with my spirit, because I think that's the way to lead us out of this kind of craziness that, again, seems to be coming, and God knows where it's coming from, but I mean, everywhere you go, people feel it, and they can't put their finger on it. You know, you see signs where that's, you know, what's going on in Greece or Spain. We just had a show canceled, actually. We were supposed to play on an island called Tenerife, I think the island is called, or the city was called Tenerife, and the show was canceled because of the Spanish economic crisis. So these are starting to have real effects and so when we look back at we see these things happening, we don't know where this is all going. You know what I mean? When you see mainstream news sources, the Foxes and the CNNs, using the kind of language that 5 years ago you were being condemned for, you know, it's kind of laughable.
Profound, Mr. Corrigan. We see Larry Summers, one of the top bankster globalists, in the Washington Post last week saying, prepare for total collapse. But he's acting like it's all an accident and they're the wise old men that are going to save us, when they're the people on record that engineered this implosion. That's how we were able more than 10 years ago to chronicle what was coming. And now here we are. It's out in the open. And a lot of people say, well, you're being negative talking about all these horrible things. But if we don't focus and expose the bad, then we can never recognize it from the good and protect what's good. And I can feel the heartbeat of the universe, God, whatever people want to call it. And more people are actually coming out of their trance. I am seeing that. But I also see others who aren't waking up getting deeper into the trance.
I would totally agree with that. I think what's happening is we're seeing a split. The people that are invested in reality, and by reality, I'm not talking about the Adam Sandler movie version, you know what I mean, or the sitcom version. I'm talking about reality as we know it, as our ancestors lived it. You know, like, what the heck is going to happen to me and my family? How do we move forward? How do we progress as a species? How do we evolve rightly and morally? As we see that part of, and it's everywhere. It's not just America. It's you see glimpses in China and in India and Africa. As people are waking up, they're doing their own research. They're having their own discourse with their friends and family. So now they have access to information in a way they've never had. So empires can't sort of play this game that they've played, you know, dating back probably longer than you and I could recall. The other side, of course, has to go deeper into the dream, like the Matrix. They have to go there because that's the only way to sustain the insanity. This is a touchy subject, but this is the classic example. We've all had that situation where, like, you know, something horrible happens. You know, a kid falls down a hole, and you know, when we're live from the kid that fell down the hole, and everybody's, will the kid get out of the hole safely? And you know, they're prayer vigils, and yes, that's an appropriate response. We should care. Yet, meanwhile, kids are dying everywhere. You know, is it from an unjust military action, or is it from a reckless police force, or something? You know, there's things that are happening everywhere that we don't have that same level of concern. But why don't we? Well, we've been socially conditioned that one thing is okay to care about, and one thing, well, just accept the official version and just kind of march on. And I think this is where people are waking up and saying, "Wait a second, there's a hypocrisy in that. Why don't we care about everybody equally?" And you see that as the world citizenry is opening, is awaking up. And so then it's not really about you or me anymore. It's about people taking their own individual journey to discover what they want from this world. And those that are waking up are going to find that information, and they're going to draw their own conclusions, and they're probably not going to necessarily agree with you or me or the next guy or Larry Summers. They're going to make their own conclusions, and that's what we want. We want a bunch of independent thinkers. We don't want sheep. That's the worst thing. But the sheep are going to become more sheep because that's what they want. They don't want to wake up. They want to live in that dream. And I know people like that in my family. They don't want to know. And I'm sure you've had those conversations. Anybody listening to you, I'm sure, has had those conversations. You talk to people and you talk about, I don't know, the Federal Reserve, something that's really not that political when you get right down to it, and they don't want to hear it. They just want to put their fingers in their ear and believe the TV show that's being presented politically.
Bang on from my perspective, Billy, that's what's happening. The wheat is being separated from the chaff, and people that are committed to the illusion, once they get into that trap, they'll go along with anything. And you've crystallized something that I've attempted to boil down, and that's that it's insulting that the power structure, the corporate-controlled media, the people that create the maps of the mind, they say, get upset about this child that they claim Assad killed in Syria. And then when hundreds of thousands of Iraqi children are killed, we're told, oh, they're just, you know, dehumanized Arabs or Muslims. And it's insulting. It's insulting that the mainstream media and the corporate culture tries to flip our emotions on and off and tell us when we can care about something. I don't mean to go off into a rant, but what you said really is the key. It's recognizing how ridiculous and fake and plastic this culture is.
Yes, and so, like, for example, we just had the case with the Sandusky, the Penn State, the horrible stories of molesting these young men. And as you've talked about, maybe a culture that would have protected him because of wanting to maintain power or not pay the price for looking the other way. Now of course, you're going to have the cases that are going to come up with the administration officials that allegedly may have covered it up and so on and so on and so on. But the interesting thing is what I see with the people around me, and I'm not necessarily surrounded by a bunch of liberal class. I'm surrounded by a lot of working class people. I see them not necessarily buying these narratives like they used to. You know, and so what happens, and we know this from rock and roll, if the audience doesn't react, you turn the volume up louder. Well, what we have is a culture that's just turning up the volume louder. You know, because people start asking real questions, and so of course, then the theater needs to be heightened, and new narratives need to be created to try to create an emotional engagement, which of course is not real, because it's meant to take you on some level, even if it's just profit driven, to take you away from your very human emotion, which is why don't we care about everybody?
The ruling class, the social engineers, are so good at controlling us and dumbing us down and having 1,000, you know, blaring loudspeakers in the background to where we just curl up as little balls. But what the ruling elite need to understand is they're not immune from this. They're basically drinking their own poison. And this is what happens throughout history with Caligula and Nero and so many other systems where the elite go crazy. And that's what concerns me the most, is that undoubtedly the ruling power structures, the different special interests, they're in control of the world. They're in control of the propaganda, but they're not in control of themselves. And so it's almost like the monsters from their subconscious are now actually running the machine. And instead of it being Caligula marrying his horse or Nero going crazy and burning Rome and then committing suicide because he could, they're going to commit planetary suicide. They're going to kill us with all these super weapons and bioweapons if humanity collectively at an instinctive level and a spiritual level, and those two are connected, doesn't flip the survival switch and cause some type of emergency metamorphosis that takes us out of this. We're either going to move to the next level or we're going to destroy ourselves. My gut, my spirit shakes with the realization and total understanding that we are at the crossroads jump point.
I think that we're going to survive it. And I think that there's going to be a kind of, for lack of a better word, a public reckoning. Now, ideally, it's a peaceful one. Where Jim Morrison from the Doors, you know, the great lead singer of the Doors, he was very intrigued by the idea of how to manipulate a crowd, and some of the things that I brought in rock and roll I sort of took from his theories. He used to do things like when he was just a spectator, he would go in a crowd with three of his friends, and they would plant themselves at various points in the crowd and try to turn the crowd against the band. And then obviously on stage he would do things to see where the flip point was. People talk about catchphrase like a tipping point. You don't need 100% of the people to agree with something to reach a tipping point. So where are we? Let's say in a gross oversimplification, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. And most people, and probably the predominant number of people listening to your program, feel that what's happening is the wrong way. We just feel in our gut that something's not right, whether it's GMOs or vaccines or, fascism or Federal Reserve, doesn't matter. We just feel something's not quite right. Okay, where's that tipping point? If there's 100 million people, how many people do we need in that tipping point? And I think we're starting to get actually pretty close to that tipping point where the public's, let's call it the thoughtful minority that's not going to buy this BS propaganda, there's going to be a point where we're just going to reach that, and there's going to be a critical mass point where you're not going to be able to turn up the volume anymore. You're not going to be able to play any louder, for lack of a better way to put it. And something new is going to need to happen. It'll be in that moment, that decisive moment where a completely new paradigm can be born, and all of us are going to have a different level of responsibility in this culture. And that's sort of what I've been talking about as I've been promoting my album, because I'm getting asked a lot of questions about how musicians can exist rightfully in the new culture. And I keep talking about self-responsibility, entrepreneurship, and at the same time, the audience needs to meet them somewhere in the middle where they need to support an artist who's being real as opposed to, let's say, the robot class. And we see these parallels everywhere in culture. We see it in Hollywood. We see it even in the political class, where occasionally somebody actually stands up and tries to have a good idea. And I know lately you've been talking a lot about what's going on with Ron Paul and Rand Paul and the way people feel betrayed, and, you know, and whether this is just another shell game. And I mean, we're all kind of dealing with these different reckonings in public. And then the converse, though, that's very different is, well, how should we react? And this is the difference. We're no longer just sheep sort of sitting there with our hands over our ears. We're saying we must do something, and we have to form the new paradigms of what we can actually do.
I agree with you. I feel the responsibility that I have a platform to reach millions, that I should be doing a better job. I catch myself getting drugged back into anger, getting kind of rabbit trailed off into things that they put out. And I'm overanalyzing. And I think it's important that all of us that know the truth stop overanalyzing and know that we're trying to do the right thing. We want to make a better planet. We want our species to survive. We want to be less violent, because I found that good people, to oversimplify it, tend to overanalyze ourselves. I mean, here's an example, and you may not have known this 15, 20 years ago, but I'm sure you know it now, and I'm not just kissing your ass here, Mr. Corrigan. Getting to know you a little bit, listening to what you've had to say over the years, I know why the power structure that's very shrewd from day one is being attacking you, because you are intelligent. You are a threat to their system. You are a maverick. And the zombies and the robot class tend to peck at those that they see as a threat. If you were a leader within the system, then it wouldn't be a problem. And that's why, even though the reviewers are having to admit that, okay, this is a really good album, wow, it's, it was selling a lot of copies. People are excited about it. There's still a lot of little snipes when I was reviewing the last few days what's being shed, but that's a badge of honor. And I've noticed over the years, sometimes you've kind of responded to that and said, I don't know why you're doing that. Well, look, I know why they're doing it. It's more than just jealousy. It's the fact that you make them uncomfortable, and the system knows that as you mature, people like you are a real threat because you could influence others in your sphere to turn against the system. I've seen this happen in Hollywood. I've seen this happen in business circles. The system is very good at spotting people that see through the matrix, or they're good at spotting people that they know will someday fully break the trance and come out of the matrix. Your comments on that statement?
Well, thank you. That's a big compliment to take. My thought on it is that it's a little bit like the old Soviet system. If there is a system of control at the top, if there's somebody sitting in a room somewhere, we don't know his or her name, and they're dictating like a puppet master. Well, they're putting people in place on those lower rungs, those local government rungs, to dissuade independent thinking. I mean, we've all seen those YouTube clips where somebody stands up at a local city council meeting and goes, why are we putting, aluminum in our water? And then, the guy hits the gavel, sit down, you're not allowed to talk. Well, according to the rules, I have 5 minutes. No, this kind of stuff. You want to whack-a-mole people at the bottom level. If you actually make it up to the middle level, or in my case, the upper levels, you see different things. You see a different discourse behind the scenes. If I can give anybody my own view from my experiences, let's call it behind this, let's use the term the matrix, having been at the top levels, having been in the White House and talking to people behind the scenes, having been at parties where there's 14 A-listers in the same room that I'm in, the elite class, to use your terminology, there's a sort of an amoral characteristic. They look at it sort of as a business as usual, and there's something sort of kind of Ayn Rand about it, this idea of progress marching forward, and if you run over some skulls, that's just the way it goes. And then there's something sort of frightening about it, which is like, what about the guy who's, just a good guy, and he just wants to put some bread on his table, and he just gets crushed under the wheels of that system that doesn't really individualize him, in essence, wants to see him as a statistic. Being somebody who sort of has operated inside and outside systems, having once been outside and having been completely integrated, having been given every version of the sellout option, having not taken it, having been sort of almost humiliated as an idiot for not kind of going with the flow. And having
they actually say that in the reviews. They say you didn't sell out on purpose. They admit that, and they hate the fact that you did it your way, and they seem to hate it even more now that you're still having even bigger success doing it your way. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, but I think I appreciate the praise in that, but I think what I'm trying to say is look around your world, anybody listening, and look at those independent thinkers and see how they run them through that same gauntlet. I have to think at this point, having been in public life for 20 years, that there's a systemic belief there. Now, is it as pernicious as somebody sitting in office and saying, get him, get her? I don't think it. I think it's just a system that's evolved from some sort of subconscious place, much like the way kids will bully in school. It's not an agreement. The bullies don't go in the corner and say, yeah, let's pick on the kid. They just sort of unconsciously will prey upon the weak because they want to front for all the girls or whatever. It's very similar. I've run into writers. I mean, here's a perfect example. I run into writers that will come into a room, shake my hand, be very nice to me. How you doing? How you been since the last time we talked? All good. Flip the light on or put the press record, rip me apart, where I'm like literally backpedaling from the interview, like, whoa, like, where is this coming from? And as a younger man, I didn't really know how to handle that. The interview ends, the guy stands up and says, oh, great interview, thanks so much. Then you read the thing to come out in the paper, and he says, oh, he was a fool, he was a nervous idiot, he was biting his nails to the quick. I mean, he can't be trusted. And I think, who are they talking about? Now, is that guy or that girl, are they part of some sort of conscious system? I don't really necessarily believe that. I think it's more an unconscious urge to please.
We're going to come back and speak with Billy Corrigan of Smashing Pumpkins here in just a moment. SmashingPumpkins.com is a great place to go so you can find the links to get the new album, Oceania. And let me tell you, I've been a Smashing Pumpkins fan since I was in college, and I think this is one of the best records I've ever heard. It may even be better than the one that was my previous favorite. I mean, obviously the big hit, 1979. Billy, what do you want to go out to break with, and what should we come out of break with?
I think we should launch into Quasar, Alex, because it's a bow to God's power.
We'll be right back. Here is some of Quasar, available at SmashingPumpkins.com. With the front man, the founder of Smashing Pumpkins, Billy Corrigan, and you just heard part of Panopticon. That, of course, is a system of surveillance where you think you're always being watched. What's that song about, as if the name doesn't tell us, Billy?
You know, I think it sort of deals with the duality of the two systems, right? One system being this idea that we're always being surveyed now. Like, you can't go down the street without some CCTV camera picking you up, right? On another sense, there is this eye in the sky keeping an eye on us, you know? So you have a benign system, and you have a malicious system, in my opinion. And so it's sort of like how it feels to be in between those two ideas.
No, exactly. I've learned watching these globalists, and I've seen some of the same things you've seen from different angles. They just know how to pick individuals that fill that space. They go out in the garden, and basically out of the millions and billions of people out there, they just select. And they can look at the college transcripts, how they wrote at the college paper, did they do what the editor wanted, and they can just select the exact type they want and then put them in that position.
Yeah, there does seem to be, let's call it a bootlicking class.
Yeah.
I believe Roger Waters, the great auteur of Pink Floyd, really identifies that in his incredible work, The Wall. This kind of fascist undertone to a slavish going along, obviously in The Wall he addresses World War II, his father being killed for what purpose? Was it a just purpose? Was it a not purpose? Did anyone really care? Did anybody remember his father after his sacrifice? All the things he wrestled with, and then somehow that very intuitively intertwines with fascism. And I think that's really an incredible deep insight from Roger in that particular work. About where that thin line of where being a slave on some level, even if it's a psychological slave, even if it's just a willingness to go along because you just don't want to bother, how that somehow leads to this kind of other weird, freakish control system. And I think what we're all reckoning with is, again, we know something is there. Is it as nefarious as you go into sometimes? Perhaps. Or is it a system that's just been in play for thousands of years and nobody's even really at the wheel? And it's just kind of rumbling along because it just seems to work and there's lots of money to be.
Well, that's what Richard Nixon said. He said it's a wild beast. You can't control it. And so a lot of it is automated, but the dark generals of this system know how to guide and massage and understand those tricks. But you just went right back to that key again. It's this fake patriotism of using the troops and the flags and the idea, but in reality, you treat the troops like garbage. You take their death benefits. You give them the worst doctors. The Homeland Security documents say they're the real threat. But meanwhile, the whole fascist war machine camouflages itself as the guy down the road who went to fight because he wanted to protect America. And it's all a fraud, but people are invested in it, so they don't want to say it's wrong. We've only got about 6-7 minutes left because Billy's got to run us.
I'd like to touch on that a second because I have friends that are veterans, and that's where we have to make a difference, you see. We have to bring these guys back into our communities. We have to listen to what they learned. We have to let them. We have to, encourage their voices. We can't demonize them for being caught up in a system that maybe they're now realizing didn't stand by them like they thought they were standing by it. And that's the very difficult thing, especially if you love your country, because where do you draw those lines? At least on the local level or the relationship level, we can support those people. Into integrating them back into American life because they're having a really hard time, obviously. What I saw this on Drudge Report the other day, and, never know whether things are true or not, but it said the second highest rate of fatality in the Army right now is suicide. Was that true?
Yes, sir. Actually, in Afghanistan, it's the number one cause. And some months, it's the number one cause overall. The suicide rate is roughly 7 times what it was even in Vietnam, because they're sending people in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 tours. Many men who were in World War II, one tour, suffered all sorts of serious problems. And now we bring them back here and treat them like garbage. Very well said. They've been caught up in this destructive fraud that is chewing up and murdering innocent people overseas, but doing it here on the other end in a more sneaky, devilish way. I want to race in the time we've got left here, Billy, through a raft of questions and then any final points you've got. I think this is an amazing interview. Let's continue here with other issues. GMO, your take on genetically modified organisms. I'm no rocket scientist, but you have corn that the bugs can't eat because it grows its own pesticide, but then we feed it to humans. And then in the studies, it's causing organ failure in the rats. What's your view on GMO, and what do you think the power structure is doing there?
Well, I tend to look at something like this as pretty simple. Number one, it's not going to go away, right? So what do we do about it? I think it's something like, I ask the question like this, why don't we have a choice as a consumer to know whether or not we're consuming these foods? It's becoming more and more difficult to be able to identify whether or not we're actually eating genetically modified food. That's where it's like, okay, if we can't stop it at the top, why can't we stop it at the bottom? We need to fight those fights. And just circling back to the veterans again, you know, so if we know something like this, where is this public discourse that we should be having? You know, why aren't there congressional hearings? Why don't we have this airing out, especially on patriotic, quotation news sources like Fox News? Why isn't there a bigger discussion going on? That's where I get suspicious. You see what I'm saying? The stuff you allude to sometimes, you know, I don't have the personal information necessarily to know whether or not that's true. I can sort of on face value say, well, there's something there, where there's smoke, there's fire. Where I go to is why don't certain systems necessarily then come into play when you would think they would? If we know now that suicide is very high amongst our soldiers, why isn't there a movement in the country to figure out why? Now, you can say intuitively, I know why, right? But you can also engage a system to say there must be a reckoning. There must be an accountability.
Exactly. Why don't they care? Why aren't they making that the story of the boy at the bottom of the well?
But we have to make that the story. That's what I'm saying. Look, you used to listen to the radio and you thought, you know what? I got something else to say. You started your own station, right? Okay. I used to look at rock and roll and say, I can do this better. I can do this different. I started my own rock and roll band, which turned into my own radio station, you see? So this is the thing. We need to start our own radio station. We need to start our own blog.
We all need to be the individuals we are, and that way the cookie cutter Borg cannot overtake us. Very well said.
Yeah. See, that's why, and when we talked before, and I say this story, don't get caught in this left-right stuff. You know what I mean? Look at a human being who's come back from a war. Whether or not you agree with why they were there, why they enlisted, you look at a human being, and you see that person hurting, and you do not lend your hand, okay? Then you're not in line with Christ or Buddha or whatever you believe in. You're not in line with that. You're basically falling into the same ditch that everybody else is in.
They divide and conquer us, and they do it scientifically.
If you lead with your heart, you'll see a person who's standing there that needs help. Right, so if we look as a country at these wounded warriors, or why are, like I think I saw on your site, or maybe it was Drudge, where these kids are now coming up with these GMO pesticides in their systems. Okay, we need to do something about that. We need to stand up and okay. In my case, I'm willing to put my public cachet out there and say these are the questions that need to be asked. And then somebody's going to try to drill me from the left and drill me from the right because I'm not a scientist. Of course I'm not a scientist. I'm a rock star. I'm less than a scientist.
But right? You can go research the scientific reports that are out there.
You can ask the question, right? Okay. And then as an American public, if there's enough of us, we can demand an answer.
Sure. Why is cancer increasing? Instead of looking for the cure, why aren't we looking for the cause? All right, Billy, I've got to throw this in here at the end. I've seen over 500 articles literally saying there are no drones. Now, the Washington Post announced $40+ billion to launch 30,000 of them in the next 8 years. They're arresting cattle thieves with them in North Dakota. They've got drones here in the town I live in. The police are now arming them. That's all over the news. But they've come out and said, oh, my gosh, the farmers are all upset and the American people are upset. It's not happening. So I think they were trying to shove that down our throat. The backlash came. And so now they're saying everything is fine. But my point is here babbling. Is that things like the TSA groping us, things like checkpoints on highways or drones above us, I think fundamentally gets through to the public that, hey, this whole military system we've paid for to dominate the globe, it's now coming back on us. Your take on the drones, the TSA, and then anything else you'd like to add in closing?
You know, I think it's, look, there's an inevitability to what's going on. We all read 1984 in school, or Brave New World, where this kind of dystopia was sort of sketched out. Of course, in school, we read these books with the idea that we'll never live in a society like this. And now we're waking up and realizing that we are. The cell job, of course, is going to be it's going to make us safer. If we all have some RFID chip on us, you know, no one will be able to commit a murder because we'll always know where everybody is. You know, God forbid a kid goes missing, one of the worst things I can think of, we'll be able to trace where that kid went and who was with that kid. That's going to be the cell job. Now, we're going to have to make really critical decisions as a culture and a society and as a world populace for what price freedom. So far in the last decade since, or plus since 9/11, the American public seems really okay with it, shockingly so. And it's difficult to imagine that we seem to be hurtling in this direction with no brake on. And it's, certainly if there's a nefarious system that wants to put these things in place, they've seen the apathy. You remember there was that day, the protest, the TSA day and all that. And unfortunately, millions of people didn't do anything. And that was the end of that, so if we know this is coming, at what point do we say no? At what point do we say we're not going to accept this anymore collectively? Because as individuals, you can sit there and bitch and moan all you want. If you're just going to be one hero standing alone in the wilderness, it's not going to work. It's going to take a collective effort, and it's going to take a synthesizing of voices that have a kind of a collective belief. It can't be that left-right stuff, because that's always going to break down into an argument. It has to be a fundamental belief that, it's like when we cross the street, we take a chance of getting hit by a car. It's just kind of part of what goes with crossing the street. You call it the nanny state. At some point, is the majority of our country, do they want to live in a nanny state? So far, the vote seems...
Specifically, you fly a lot. Do you have any horror stories with the TSA?
No, I'm lucky in that, I opt out. I refuse to walk through the scanning machines. I've read the scientific data. I've done my own research. I don't feel comfortable going through those machines. I've seen, where I've been radiated at other points in my life, just through x-rays and stuff, where it hurt my immune system. I have enough problems with that as it is, just by my schedule and my lifestyle. So I choose to opt out. 19 times out of 20, I've been treated very courteously and professionally, and so I don't have any particular complaint. That being said, I disagree with the idea. And, of course, what's really weird is then we go to Europe or other places, and the systems are different. So, again, on logic, right, just on, normal human logic, why isn't there a homogenized system if the threat is the same everywhere? That's what I find curious.
Very well said. I'm going to let you go. Hopefully can talk to you when you get back to town. Hopefully someday we run into each other again, and I'll say hi to Mancalf to you. This is off air, and I can cut this in anywhere. But anything else you want to add? Billy, anything else that you would like to impart to the audience or try to get folks to think about?
If I had any just general message from my perspective, it's that we all have to take responsibility. We all have to do something. In my case, I'm willing to talk about these things openly and kind of sit more in the energy of hope, but not the Pollyanna version. I believe in the goodness of most people. There is evil in the world. And if God has taught us anything, the only way to combat evil is to be better than evil with light and love. And so we must embrace our families, our communities. We must really care about our brothers and sisters. And if we don't, then we are just, as was once famously said in the 60s, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Well said. It's a Hunter S. Thompson quote. Trust in God, but roll away from the rocks. So the Bedouin saying that he was paraphrasing, trust in God, but tie up your camel. Yes, trust, but you've got to have right action. Billy Corgan, smashingpumpkins.com. Again, congratulations on your new record. I love it, and it's definitely in my playlist. Thank you so much for spending time with us, and be safe down in South America.
Thank you, Alex. God bless. Bye-bye.
Folks, there goes Billy Corgan. Well, now that Mr. Corrigan has left us, I've got a few things to say about him. He really does have courage. For every 10 or 15 famous people that we end up getting contacted by or that I run into and talk to who are awake, maybe one of them is willing to come on the show. Because the system does come after you. But we're going to lose everything if we don't reverse what's happening. If the globalists don't realize that their system is insane. And that even though they think they're in control of it, the blowback is going to destroy them as well as us. And, Billy talked about, well, people didn't stand up, so nothing happened. That was the one point I disagreed with him, but we didn't have time in the interview to get into it. I, with others, helped organize the national opt-out day. And for more than 2 weeks, they just turned the scanners off almost everywhere. For 2 days, the day of Thanksgiving and after, they totally turned him off. And there's lawsuits over that. Bob Barr is suing him to get the documents, you know, to find out why they did that. But the answer is pretty simple. They didn't want to give us a chance to start a new civil rights movement. They didn't want to give us a chance to really show our power. That's what they do. Every time we try to take the field against the New World Order and we're going to win, they back off. They disappear. They strike when they want to strike. It's a guerrilla war on us. It's jungle hit and run attacks. We've got to do the same thing in the info war. Every little thing you do where you're individualistic, where you don't just put something out that was pre-programmed, sabotages their system of predicting what we're going to do and how our social movements operate. Let me tell you, I was impressed by that interview, and I'm very impressed by Billy Corgan and this new album. In fact, I think it's probably the best album he's ever put out, even better than the stuff that came out in the early and mid-90s. And it's good to have people like him out there who are reaching millions of others with the message of think for yourself. All right, here we go, folks. Here it is from the new Smashing Pumpkins album. Get it at smashingpumpkins.com.
You're not me. And never ever will you ever be. I'm gonna find you and never run against. I'm gonna find you till the end. Till the end. Till the end.
And in closing, it is a fact that governments are the number one cause of death when special interests control them. The University of Hawaii has done the studies. There's other studies out there. 260-plus million people were killed by government in non-military action. That's a few hundred million more. Civilians, innocent people, 200-plus million were killed by governments. Shot, starved to death, killed. That's not counting carpet bombing and things like that, or Hiroshima, Nagasaki. 260-plus million people. That's how many have been killed via democide. And that's a term almost no one even knows. You know all about serial killers. You know all about not trusting your neighbor. You know all about Al-Qaeda. Better chance of being killed by a honeybee sting. Look at the statistics on that. You know all about things that are non-existent. It's like Jaws. For 2 years after that movie came out in the early 70s, they had over 50% less people at the beaches in the United States. Same thing in Australia, other areas. Because people thought that big gray shark was out there and was going to eat them. Less than 5 people die a year on average worldwide from great whites. But because there's so much coverage, you know about it. And even when I'm out in the ocean, I sometimes kind of think about it. Even though I consciously know I've got a better chance of being hit by a meteorite or struck by lightning twice than I do being eaten by a great white. It's a total joke, ladies and gentlemen. Why am I bringing up democide? Why is democide so important? Because we're told the drones, the checkpoints, the police state, all of this is for our safety, but the number one historical threat in history is governments setting up these police states for our supposed safety. And now the Pentagon admits they want regular Army and Marines in every city to respond to terrorists. And they say the new terrorists are the American people. So all their excuses of taking our liberties and freedoms for our safety are frauds. The number one threat is this national security state run by the private megabanks that are monopoly men. We're told to fear our neighbors. We're told to fear, you know, the evil Arabs, as they call them. We're told to fear all of this, but we should fear big government. Our founders, 235 years ago, they knew the big threat. Read what Thomas Jefferson said. Read what George Washington talked about. Read what other philosophers, Victor Hugo in France, talked about. The state is the big threat because it can get away with almost anything. It controls the military. It controls the police. And when special interests get control of it, look out. That's our talk with Billy Corgan, and that's my addendum to it. I want to thank Billy for spending time with us here on the air. And we will take you back now to the live radio show. Infowars.com. All right, my friend. friends, we are back live. Yes, thank you for joining us today. Didn't mean to have the celebrity broadcast with Jesse Ventura and Billy Corgan today, but that's just kind of how it worked out. We have some other big guests coming up later in the week. I'll just leave it at that. Some of the other news up at Infowars.com. Maury Strong, the big globalist, lauds Chinese model of forced abortion, infanticide, and enslavement, communist Chinese model, at 2012 Earth Summit. Very important article at the bottom of the feature news area of Infowars.com. Also, using the TPP to reintegrate and expand NAFTA in the North American Union. Disintegration, what it looks like when a nation collapses. Very important article. Also, victory over tyrants, stop dictator Obama phase one contest winners. It's a $5,000 prize, but I had to give the runner-up $1,000. That wasn't in the rules, but I'm just doing it. It was so good. So see those winners there. We got $10,000 now in phase two. You got 2 weeks to get that done. Shoot your video, get it up online, and I will judge it. And also, all too predictable, Bilderberg plan to force NATO, Turkey into Syria war. Patrick Henningsen, whistleblower, TSA, deliberately hiring psychopathic criminals. By the way, our commenting is fixed now. The InfoWars comments weren't working today, but that's been fixed now. So you can comment there. Give us your take on that. UN received Agenda 21 funding from world governments and corporations and military source British commandos operating in Syria.